Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, let us share in the joy of the psalmist who said, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" May every opportunity offered to worship you in your house find us eager to hear your word, to join in singing your praise and lifting up our hearts to you in prayer. May your Holy Spirit bless this hour of worship in your house, that we may be refreshed after the toils and burdens and sins and failures of our daily life. Teach us to come into your presence with a contrite heart, and let us depart with the knowledge that our sins are completely forgiven. Fill our spirits with the peace that the world cannot give, the peace that Jesus gives through his sacrifice on the cross. We ask these things in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is "Come My Soul with Every Care." Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the middle of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature, and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all of our needs of body and soul. Give us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks to you for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Help us through that same Spirit to know what to pray for so that we ask for things that are truly good for us in accordance with your good and holy will. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for today is a responsive reading of selected verses from Psalm 25, a psalm that is a prayer to the Lord for help in every time of trial. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. Our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll read from chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and then verses 36 through 43. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. This is Jesus' parable, and then the explanation of the parable of the wheat and the weeds. He, that is Jesus, presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plant sprouted and produced heads of grain, the weeds also appeared. The servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?' He said to them, 'An enemy did this.' The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and gather up the weeds?' 'No,' he answered, 'because when you gather up the weeds, you might pull up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together up until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, first gather up the weeds, bind them in bundles, and burn them. Then gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then we jump to verse 36, where Jesus explains what he means by this parable. "Then Jesus sent the people away and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered them, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered up and burned with the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will pull out of all his kingdom everything that causes sin and those who continue to break the law. The angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Here ends our scripture readings. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Nicene Creed, starting on page 6 in your bulletin. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen." You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, "When in the Hour of Deepest Need." Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has commanded us and invited us to pray to him, dear fellow redeemed. Our text for this morning's application and meditation for our daily walk of faith is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans. We read from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we should pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that are not expressed in words. And he who searches our hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Can you think of a time in your life when you just didn't know what to say? I would guess you've probably had a number of times in your life where that was the case. You just didn't know what to say. You couldn't find the words to speak that were appropriate for the situation. Maybe you heard some horribly sad or tragic news. Maybe you were put on a spot to answer a question you just didn't know how to begin to answer. Whatever the reason was, when we can't formulate the right words to say in a given situation, it's not usually a very good feeling. I don't like that feeling. Tend to feel a bit frustrated. You may even feel a bit helpless. And yes, would you believe there are actually times that I don't know what to say? Newsflash, I do like to talk. I am talking most of the time in my job. I'm actually expected to talk to people and am expected to know the right things to say at the right time. But there are times where I don't know what to say, and the right words to speak don't come to mind. And it seems impossible to find what it is I should say at this time. It happens to all of us, doesn't it? How about when we're talking to God? Have you ever come before God in prayer and you just don't know what to say? You have things to pray for. You know you need things. You know you want things. But you close your eyes, you fold your hands, and the words just don't seem to come out of your mouth, or they don't seem to come out of your heart and your mind. I think it's safe to say we've all been there too, haven't we? That too is a frustrating feeling and can make us feel helpless. We're coming to the one who can help us, and we don't know what to say. Well, our text for today gives us this blessed reminder that we have help. In fact, we have the Helper, with a capital H. We have the Holy Spirit. He's there to help us when we don't know what to say, even when we don't know what to say to God. Paul reminds us of that blessed truth in our text: the Spirit helps us in our weakness. He reminds us that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. So when you don't know what to say, pray. Yes, just pray. Think of how good it would be for us to remember that when we are thinking of something to say to other people, or when we don't know what to say to other people. Some of the best and most practical advice I've ever read was from a Christian counselor who would repeatedly remind his clients, his patients, this advice. He'd say, stop, think, and pray. Think of how much better our communication and our relationships with others would be if we could follow that advice before we open our mouths to speak to others, especially when we don't know what to say. Stop. Just pause for a moment. Think. Think about what it is you're about to say. And then last but not least, pray. Pray a short prayer. Lord, give me the words to speak and help me say it in the best possible way. Amen. Obviously, in those situations, it doesn't have to be a long or flowery prayer. In fact, it probably can't be. Remember, the Holy Spirit is there. He's there and helps us in our weaknesses. Turn to Him. Our text especially points to two important ways in which the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. The first is that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray for. The Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray for. Again, we all know that we have things that we want to pray for. We all know we have things we need to pray for and ought to pray for, but so often we don't know what to say. This can happen for a number of reasons. Sometimes it happens because we are distracted. It can happen because of our doubts. We know that God has saved us through His Son Jesus. We know that with all our heart. We know that He's promised to hear our prayers, to protect us, to work all things out for our good. And yet there are so many things in our minds and in our hearts at any given moment that can distract us, that can make our prayers feel scattered. Often, isn't it just the magnitude of the troubles that we're thinking about and praying about that seem like this tidal wave that's about to overwhelm us? And all we feel at times that we're able to choke out in prayer is just a feeble cry of help. But we doubt. And inside we feel that our feeble cries to the Lord hardly seem that they could do anything in the face of such overwhelming troubles. Sickness, death, loss of a loved one, debt, disappointments, tragedies, bad news, etc. Because of our doubts, we can find it difficult or even impossible to pray the way we should with full and complete confidence in the Lord, the Almighty God of the universe. Sometimes our problem is simply exactly how the Apostle Paul describes it in our text. It isn't always a matter of doubt. It's not always a matter of being distracted. Sometimes we simply do not know what we should pray for. And sometimes that is a problem, right? It's our fault. Sometimes the reason for not knowing what we should pray for is a lack of our own Christian maturity, our need for growth in the Spirit through the Word of God. Too often our prayer life resembles a little kid walking or running through a portion of a store and yelling, "I want this, I need this, I want that." Not really realizing that many of those things that they are demanding or requesting aren't good for them, that they shouldn't have. Maybe they're too young to have or aren't good for them at all. Some of those things we simply don't need. And so, when we pray to our Heavenly Father, we need to remember that what we should pray for are things that we do actually need, things of importance, things that we are able to handle in our lives. We're so quickly to turn to those things that we do not need, and we neglect those things that we do need so much. We pray to God to give us food and money, but we fail to ask Him for a faith to calm us in our days of uncertainty. We often remember to pray for good health. What we really need might be patience to endure this difficult stretch of bad health. We might pray that stress in our lives would be taken away when what we need is actually open ears and a willing heart to hear the comfort that He's already given us in His Word, or the comfort He brings to us from our fellow Christian friends or family members, or helpers He sends to us. We may pray for ourselves when we ought to really be thinking about praying for someone else who has a great need as well. The point is, we don't always know the things we should ask for. We don't always remember to ask for them. We don't always have the wisdom and the insight to know what things would be helpful to us to have and what things would be actually harmful for us to have. So aren't you glad to hear the promises from our text? First of all, that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Paul reminds us, when we are weak, God is strong. We cry for help, and we're reminded by his word that he has helped us. Even in the face of the tidal wave of our worst troubles, sin and death, not just the physical kind, the eternal kind. He washed those sins away perfectly clean and cleansed us of our guilt, our shame, and our sins by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, removing our sins from his sight forever by Jesus' death on the cross. He made us his own dear children by faith, giving us that faith that we can come before his throne of grace in our time of need and know that our Heavenly Father will hear and answer our prayers in the way that he knows is truly best. He promises us that even when we don't know what to say, even when we don't know what we should pray for, he still hears and answers our prayers. Again, Paul reminds us in our text, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that are not expressed in words. Think about what that says and think about what it means. It means that when we pray, we are not the only ones praying. It reminds us the Holy Spirit is also interceding for us. That means he's going to the Heavenly Father on our behalf, expressing God's our request to God properly, even when we can't find the words. We might say in a sense that the Holy Spirit translates our prayers to God in ways that are not expressed in words. Think of what a comfort that is for us. When we derive comfort from other people praying for us, for example, whether it's someone praying for us privately or praying for our fellow believers in the worship service, as we often do, that is a great comfort for us. And we should derive comfort from that when other people pray for us. The book of James says to pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. How much greater comfort is there then in the fact that the Holy Spirit is also interceding for us when we pray? Do you think the Holy Spirit makes mistakes when he intercedes for us in prayer? Do you think he's going to make some poor requests for us before God, make some harmful requests on your behalf? Of course not. The God who loved you enough to send his Son to die for you and sent that Holy Spirit into your heart to make you his very own child by faith will not and simply cannot give you what is less than perfect for our needs. Therefore, we take great comfort in the second way in which the Holy Spirit helps us pray. The Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with God's will. The Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with God's will. You and I, we might make some imperfect prayers, right? We might ask in ignorance like little children, ask for things that are not always in our best interests. But the Holy Spirit always makes perfect requests. When the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, his requests are always the most helpful that can be made for each of us in every individual situation. The bottom line is this: he always knows what to ask for. His requests will always match the will of God and therefore will be granted. But we can also pray with this confidence that the Holy Spirit is expressing his thoughts to the Heavenly Father, and he can pray for things that we are not even aware that we should be praying for. He makes those requests for us that are always according to God's will, always in line with God's thinking. And so Paul reminds us of that great truth in the second verse of our sermon text for today. He says, "And he who searches our hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will." God the Father, who knows everything, knows the mind of the Spirit. They are one. They are the one eternal God. There is never any danger of that connection not being made between the two of them, or the connection being lost, or things being lost in translation. There is never any danger of the Spirit unable to get his request to the Heavenly Father or misunderstanding the Spirit's requests when he makes them for us. So yes, our prayers may be weak and frail. They might be filled at times with doubt and apprehension. We may not always know what to say or how to say it. We may just sigh or groan, as our text says. We may just say something like, "Help, Lord." But remember, even that is a prayer. Even that short prayer is a prayer that your Heavenly Father wants to hear and answer. When we cannot find the proper words to pray, or can't know the proper things to pray for, or even if we have not been as conscious of our prayer life as we ought to have been, the Holy Spirit is there for us, praying for us, helping us in our weakness, expressing things that our words cannot. And he always knows exactly what to say. When you don't know what to say, pray. You can always be confident that your Heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows what your true needs are, and he will always hear and answer your prayers for your good. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. Are there any prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O merciful Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, your Son, truly thankful for the privilege of speaking to you in prayer. Teach us and remind us that the Spirit helps us when we don't know what to pray for. Remind us that he is interceding for us and translating our prayers to you according to your will. Give us a courageous faith which boldly lays all the burdens of our hearts and our lives before your throne of grace. Teach us that as afflictions increase in our lives, we are to pray more often and more fervently. Since prayer is an activity of faith, help us in our prayer life by deepening our trust in you. Grant that our prayers always proceed from repentant hearts, truly sorry for our sins, and from believing hearts, trusting your forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you that our prayers offered in his name always find acceptance at your throne of grace, and because of him we can come before you. Make your word, the Bible, the treasure of our hearts, and cause us to be guided by it in our prayers by the counsel and promises that it gives. Oh, Father, we know that our prayers are acceptable only because your Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. Therefore, in accordance with Jesus' invitation and command, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit to us. Cause him to dwell in us richly, that we may not only increase in our faith, but also that we'd be able to that we would be taught to pray and that he would intercede for us in groans which words cannot express. We ask you to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake, to relieve those who are burdened, to bring cheer to those who are sorrowful, to strengthen those who are weak, Recall those who are erring, help those who are sick, release those who are suffering, and fulfill the wants of those who are in need. Replenish our love when it grows cold, and rekindle the dying embers of our faith when they begin to wane. Dear Father, we know that when we seek you, we shall find you, for you are near to all of us. How blessed are we that we can lay claim to your promises by faith and rest in the knowledge that you hear and answer our prayers. In your mercy, hear us all for Jesus' name's sake, and hear us now as we pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn on the top of page 10 in Holy Conversation. Please rise. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen. We continue by praying together the prayer before the Lord's Supper on the bottom of page 10. Dear Savior, upon your gracious invitation, I come to your altar. Let me find favor in your eyes, that I may approach your table in true faith and receive the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of my sins and the strengthening of my faith. Amen. may be seated. At this time, we ask communicant members of St. Stephen Congregation or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession to partake of the Lord's Supper. Those who would like to take the Lord's Supper from their pews at this time are invited to do so, followed by those who would like to come to the table before the altar. Those who are taking it from their pews, please take your communion packets, beginning with the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now taking the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. I now invite those at the direction of our usher to come forward for the Lord's Supper. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and eat. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take and drink. Now may this, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. I invite you to please rise. Let's pray together now the prayer after the Lord's Supper on the top of page 12. O blessed Savior Jesus Christ, you have given yourself to me in this holy sacrament. Keep me in your faith and favor. As you live in me, let me also live in you. May your body and blood preserve me in the true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord with gladness. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and I pray that you've been blessed through the message you heard this morning. A few announcements for today and for this week. I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service at 1 p.m. today, and then I'll be flying down to Southern California for our worship service and Bible study tonight in the Ontario area at 6:30. I'll have visits tomorrow as well in the San Diego area. I'll be returning then tomorrow evening. This week, our service on Tuesday in Sacramento and Stockton had to get postponed. I had a bit of a head cold earlier in the week. I am 99.9% completely over it. I will probably just give you the holy fist bump as you leave today, or just give you a wave, but I'm feeling much better, thankfully. But because of that, we had to reschedule. The Sacramento service will be held this Tuesday, tentatively scheduled for 4. The Stockton service has to be rescheduled for the end of the month on the 29th. Wednesday, our Board of Education will meet via Zoom at 6 p.m. School begins just in a couple of weeks. The 21st is the first day of school, so we're beginning our preparations for the beginning of school soon. Speaking of which, from Thursday through Saturday, you'll notice on page 15 of your bulletin a call out for some help with the school storage room and classroom reorganization that will happen at the end of this week. Any of the times or dates that work for you, you're welcome to come and help with some of the reorganization and sorting and so forth. If you have any further questions, probably Michaela is the one to speak to. Any of the staff could probably help point you in the right direction. We'll be there for most of the time during the day on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday working on that project. Next Sunday, our schedule is back to the normal schedule. Bible study at 9 a.m., worship service at 10, and the Women's Auxiliary will meet at 11:15 following our worship service next Sunday. A heads up, an invitation is in the bulletin for the 20th of August. That's the second to the last Sunday of this month. We'll be having our Education Sunday the day before school starts. A very special Education Sunday where we'll be installing our new teacher, Isaac Schmidt, and we'll have a reception celebrating Isaac and Michaela's wedding after the service on the 20th. So please come and join us for that. If you would like to, please drop a line or a note to Leslie Harillo to let us know how many are attending. That would be helpful as well. Today's service had a very strong prayer theme. A reminder also in the back of your bulletin, the prayer list for the world missions that we have contacts and congregations across the world have some very great needs of prayer. The folks in Myanmar are suffering deeply. So please keep them in your prayers as you go about your week. Please read through those and keep our brothers and sisters in Christ in your prayers as well. Pastor Todd Ullman, our missionary, is the one who makes these prayer lists, and he will be our guest speaker at the end of the month at our Mission Festival on the 27th of August. Please join us for that as he does a presentation for us after our fellowship meal that Sunday. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.